KMUW's Pine Night is back. We'd like to invite you to the next meetup, an evening of conversation, drinks, and camaraderie with other listeners and staff. We'll be at Tor Brewing in the upstairs loft on February 11th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. I hope you'll come spend an evening with us.
Good morning. It's Friday, February 6th. I'm Lou Ann Stevens, and this is Wichita's Early Edition from KMUW News. Musician Mike Kirkendall didn't even have a name for his band when he found out that DJs at KMUW in the 1980s were interested in local music. He also thought the station had forgotten about the tape he'd mailed in until a bandmate phoned him and said that their music was getting regular airplay on 89.1.
I tuned in that night, and it was like within 5 minutes that one of our songs came on, and it was like I've probably never felt more thrilled in my life.
That's coming up after the news. More Kansas school districts are canceling classes because so many students and staff members are out sick. The Center School District in Marion County says schools were not open yesterday, nor will they be open today because about 20% of students are absent. District leaders say illnesses include COVID, flu, stomach bugs, and viral infections. Earlier this week, the Attica District in Harper County closed for 2 days. The Fairfield and Dexter school districts have also canceled classes over the past month. Much of the country, including Kansas, is experiencing high rates of flu and respiratory illnesses. Pittsburgh State University is preparing for changes in enrollment and funding that all Kansas universities will likely face. Rachel Schnelli with KRPS reports.
This week, PSU hired Jim Johnson to help accomplish what he calls Access Pitt State. The strategic plan hopes to add 700 students enrolled in 5 years to combat the anticipated 2028 enrollment cliff, gaining $5 million in the budget. Johnson didn't offer specifics, but says universities need to find new funding sources.
There's just no doubt we're going to need to identify new ways to identify revenue to continue to do the things we want to do and even do them better.
Johnson previously served as PSU's Vice President of Intercollegiate Athletics. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Rachel Schnelli in Pittsburgh.
Democratic Kansas state lawmaker Patrick Schmidt will challenge Republican Roger Marshall for his seat in the U.S. Senate. Zane Irwin of the Kansas News Service has more.
Schmidt, a state senator, has not made a formal announcement, but he has filed to launch a campaign. That makes him the sixth Democrat to enter the primary against Marshall for the U.S. Senate, but the first state lawmaker to do so. The former naval intelligence officer won a Topeka Senate seat in 2024. In the legislature, he's focused on property taxes, sponsoring several bills on the issue and breaking with party lines in some cases. Representative Charisse David sparked rumors that she might join the race as well after she announced a tour of cities outside her U.S. House district in northeast Kansas. She has yet to confirm one way or another. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Zane Irwin.
Olathe City Council has unanimously approved the first local tax incentives tied to the chief's planned move to Kansas. We get more from Kate Mays.
The vote pledged future sales tax revenue from the site of the proposed headquarters and training facility in order to help repay the $300 million project. Dozens of Olathe residents spoke at the meeting. Most of them questioned what the city gets out of the deal and expressed concerns about long-term economic impacts. City Council members maintained that the project is a great opportunity and argued that Olathe taxpayers will not be on the hook if the bond doesn't get repaid. The vote does not yet authorize construction, and any specific proposals put forward by the chiefs for the Olathe site will still need the city's approval for site plans and rezoning. I'm Kate Mays.
The reigning World Cup champions, captained by perhaps the greatest player in the world, picked Kansas City as their base camp for the summer tournament. Sam Zeff reports.
In a statement, the Argentinian national team called Kansas City ideal because it's centrally located and the delegation will be most comfortable. Argentinian forward Lionel Messi was named the world's best player 8 times by FIFA. The team will train and live in Kansas City for the duration of the month-long event, which includes its June 16th match at Arrowhead against Algeria. England has reportedly booked the inn at Meadowbrook in Prairie Village for its stay. Teams haven't announced yet where they will train, but possible practice sites include the facilities for Sporting Kansas City and the Current, as well as Swope Soccer Village and Lawrence's Rock Chalk Park. I'm Sam Zeff.
Wichita's Eisenhower National Airport set a new record last year, reporting over 1.8 million total passengers. The new record is an increase of more than 3% from 2024 and above pre-pandemic numbers. The Wichita Airport increased its revenue from food and gift sales by more than 13%. Revenues from rental cars and parking were also up. The average airfare from ICT is above the national average at around $430. Wichita's airfares are lower than Tulsa's and about 1.5% higher than Kansas City's. Wichita Transit is offering free bus rides the day of a special election in March. Voters will decide on March 3rd whether to approve a 1% sales tax. As with previous election days, all bus and paratransit rides that day will be free to all riders. City buses will operate on regular weekday schedules that span the full voting hours of each polling location. Election officials announced recently that nearly a dozen Wichita polling places will not be available for the special election. Information on polling places is at sedgwickcounty.org. The Wichita Wind Surge minor league baseball team announced yesterday that it will transform into the Wichita Honkers for four games this season. The alternate identity is a nod to the Canada geese that are prevalent in Wichita. The team will wear newly designed Honker jerseys and caps for two games in May, one in July, and one in September. Fan merchandise will also be available. During previous seasons, the Wind Surge has assumed other names, including the Turbo Tubs and the Tumba Vacas, which loosely translates to cow tippers. We'll be back after this.
Support for KMEW comes from Fidelity Bank with Business 360, banking and lending for small businesses ready to grow. Online at fidelitybank.com.
This is Wichita's Early Edition. I'm Lou Ann Stevens. Musician Mike Kirkendall grew up in Norwich, Kansas, and later made his way to Portland, Oregon, where he recorded and/or toured with acts such as M. Ward, She and Him, and Bright Eyes. But the earliest recognition he received for his own songs came via KMUW in the 1980s. KMUW's Jed Bodewin recently spoke with Kirkendall about that experience and has more.
You've played on a lot of records with other artists, recorded a lot of records under your own name and with the band The Old Joe Clarks. But your start really came through KMUW. This was the first station that ever played your music.
There we were at 3156 South Fern, folks. If you want to drive by it, we've been making these recordings on that Tascam 144 cassette machine and just having a good time writing songs and making recordings. And I would listen to KMUW sometimes at night when I could stay up that late because I had a job that I had to be to at 8 the next morning. But I would listen, and one night they came on and they said, hey, you know, local bands, if you're making original music, send it in. We might play it, you know. And I thought, wow, we've already got a bunch of stuff. And so I got out my four-track and another cassette deck and mixed down like six of my favorite ones, scribbled some stuff on the tape and tried to make some artwork, and named the band Clyde Connor at the last moment without asking. We didn't have a name. Without asking the other guys. He was our neighbor there. And that's a whole other story. But and sent it in, waited like a week, and then called. It's like, hey, did you get it? What did you think of it? We're looking for it. Checked again. You know, after about a month and a half of that, I just kind of gave up on it. Well, what had happened is Charlie Maxton, who worked at the station, had taken it home to review. And in the meantime, while he had it at home to review, he had to move. So it got put in a box and moved to his new place and not unpacked for a while.
This little head is like a bubble. Sometimes I feel
so. I'd moved back out to Norwich with my parents and was saving up money. I was going to move to Denver and be a musician in Denver. And when I got a call from John Rada, who was one of the musicians on the tape, lived at the house together, and he said, hey, I got this call from KMUW. They'd like us to play their bash, I guess they've really been playing the tape and they really like it. And I'm like, what? Like, I'd forgotten. And this is like 5 months later, 6 months later, or something like that. I don't know. But, you know, and sure enough, I tuned in that night, and it was like within 5 minutes that one of our songs came on, and it was like, I've probably never felt more thrilled in my life.
I don't want to leave my house today. Just look out my window. Love is falling from the sky.
To me, your songs have this interesting intersection because there's this influence from British psychedelia, but then also country music.
That's exactly right. Yep. I think so. I think you're right. I think those were formative influences because I was a British rock and roll fan, as well as some of the Americans like Paul Revere and the Raiders and stuff like that. I had all that 60s stuff and I really liked that. But like before that, I had been crazy about this record of the old country artists, you know, Hank Williams, Ernest Tubb, Patsy Cline, Buck Owens, Roger Miller, that we had lying around the house, and I'd listen to that a lot. I used to sing Wabash Cannonball at every talent competition we had for our little school, and so it was just natural that those things kind of stuck in there, you know. They kind of, sometimes they find themselves wormed into the same song a little bit.
Mike Kirkendall performs at Central Standard Brewing Sunday afternoon with fellow songwriters Freddie Johnston and Bill Gaufrier. You can read more of this story at KMUW.org.
I don't know where I worked at. I had not been born yet.
Thanks for joining us for Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back on Monday. For KMUW News, I'm Lou Ann Stevens.
Sharing a watermelon, they all took a bite.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
This week on You're Saying It Wrong.
An ox used to be called sometimes a nox, N-O-X.
Oh.
Oak used to be noke. Napple was an apple. Nega would be egg. They got rid of all of those.
We're talking about how small shifts can have big effects on the way we say certain words. That's this week on You're Saying It Wrong from KMUW Studios.
Maybe you already know about naked short selling. Maybe you've personally shorted stocks yourself. But do you know about the time short sellers ruined a Super Bowl, basically?
For me, I was a little late, but red flags went up like, what is going on? This is really scary.
At Planet Money, we get the story behind the money to explain how money works. Listen on the NPR app or wherever you get your podcasts.